Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday, April the 13th, 2023, 18 minutes past the hour, 49 degrees and sunny. Could it be any nicer outside this morning on this beautiful spring April day? We're going to start off this morning with some news. I think a lot of people heard this news yesterday. And I'm just going to read it as the press release came out yesterday, and then we're going to chat with a gentleman who knows about this, who's been on this show before, always an interesting time, and get an insight into how these decisions are made, because I do think a lot of people wonder. They see the press releases, but they don't really know how the process takes place. Here is the press release that came out yesterday. Last night, the members of the Steve Young Memorial Lodge unanimously endorsed Bill Collins for election to the position of mayor of the city of Marion. I have worked with two mayors during my service with the city of Marion, Mayor Jack Kellogg and Mayor Scott Schertzer. Both have been supportive of law enforcement and law enforcement officers. We feel that Bill Collins is best positioned to continue this tradition of solid leadership from the mayor of Marion, and we wholeheartedly endorse Bill Collins to be our next mayor, said FOP 24 President Jim Fitzko. Bill Collins is a unique candidate for mayor. He has 37 years of law enforcement experience, including as chief of police and as chief deputy of the Marion County Sheriff's Office. He has also been the president of FOP 24. These experiences have prepared him to lead our great city, and we are excited to work with him after the election. The active and retired law enforcement officers of the Marion County who make up the membership of the Steve Young Memorial Lodge, of who the Fraternal Order of Police strongly encourage the citizens of the city of Marion to vote for Bill Collins for mayor. So the FOP here in Marion endorses Bill Collins as of yesterday after a meeting on Tuesday night. Well, what a pleasure it is and always has been to be joined this morning by the president of the Marion FOP, Jim Fitzko. Jim, how are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm fine.
Good. Jim, first tell us, for people who don't know, what is the FOP?
The FOP is a fraternal organization made up of active and retired members of law enforcement from Marion, Ohio. It's mostly active and retired members of the Sheriff's Office, but we do have members of the Ohio State Highway Patrol also are members.
Now, Jim, how does an endorsement happen, a political endorsement?
We have a political endorsement committee. It's made up of active and retired members from the Sheriff's Office and Police Department. The people volunteer to be on that. This year it was chaired by Kevin Davidson, who is a deputy sheriff. There was two members from the Police Department, two members from the Sheriff's Office, and the candidates are given an opportunity to come before the committee. They're asked a series of questions. Both candidates are asked the same questions, so it's fair. They receive the same questions, and then they're rated or graded, however you want to say it, on their responses to those questions.
Now, here in Marion, those series of questions, what is important in Marion that we wanted, or the FOP wanted to know of these candidates?
I will tell you, I was not on the committee, so I'm not sure of the exact questions that were asked this time. But generally, it's their support for law enforcement. How are they going to support? How will they help pay for training? How will they help get the Marion Police Department back up to full strength? How can we better our training? How can we, how, what will they do to help better our equipment? Things that will make it better for our police officers on the road and safer for our community.
Now, when we look at an endorsement, how much weight do you think the endorsement from the FOP carries in a community like Marion?
I think it carries quite a bit. Every candidate that runs has an opportunity to come and ask for our endorsement, does do so. I think it carries a lot of weight locally, within the state and within the nation. I think the FOP endorsement means a lot to candidates.
Now, this year, we have the Republican primary coming up not too far from now with Bill Collins and Sue McGowan. Glenn Coble is the Democratic nominee. He does not have an opponent in the primary. So those are the three running for mayor. Did they all show up for this interview?
Ms. McGowan did show up. Mr. Coble was contacted, and he did make an appointment to sit before the committee, but for some reason he didn't make it, and I don't know why he didn't.
So Glenn did not show up, but Sue did.
Correct.
Now, when somebody doesn't show up, is contacted, says they're going to show up, and doesn't show up, are they given another chance, or is it just, you know, you said you would show up and you didn't?
Correct. Our people volunteer their time to be there, and it's generally an all-day thing, depending on how many candidates there are, but it's rather time-consuming to do that, so we generally try to do it. If there's a lot of candidates, we'll do it multiple days. But for this, there was one day and we had committee. We try to work around candidates' schedules. He made an appointment, said he would be there. I'm sure there was a good reason he couldn't make it. We don't hold no grudges. However, I will say if a candidate does not sit for an interview, they cannot receive the endorsement.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the Republican and Democratic issue here, because politics has become very divisive. In the history of the FOP endorsing mayoral candidates, does it tend to lean one way or the other, Republican or Democrat?
I would say, I won't say just in the mayoral election, but in general elections, we've endorsed both parties fairly equal, I believe. We haven't been fully one-sided, I don't think, at all. And I've been here 30 years. Now, we haven't always done political endorsements. There was a time many, many years ago where we weren't so involved in that, but more recently we have been. And I would say we're very equal between both parties which way we go.
Now, we are in an interesting spot here in Marion because this year we're going to elect a new mayor, but really for the past 32 years, we've had two mayors. We had Jack Kellogg for 16 years, and at the end of this year, we'll have Mayor Schertzer for 16 years. So four terms for Mayor Schertzer, four terms for Mayor Kellogg. Do you know if the FOP endorsed both of those men?
I know we have endorsed, we have endorsed both. I know we did.
And do you know if it ever veered with any of their opponents?
Long time ago, no, I honestly can't. I don't know the answer to that.
So really, politics is not a huge part of this because Mayor Schertzer is a Democrat, and if you have endorsed him in the past, Bill Collins is a Republican. It does show that both sides of the fence are represented here.
Absolutely. Mayor Schertzer was very fair. The police department, in my belief, he worked with the police department, he worked with the FOP, and he was very good with the FOP and the police department. So, yes, same for Mayor Kellogg. He was a good mayor for the city, I believe, and he worked very well with the police department and with the FOP.
You know, it's very interesting, Jim, because, you know, we all vote, and outside of whatever position we hold, we go in and try to get the best candidate. Now, in a position like this, when somebody does not show up for the meeting, just as a person who's voting, do you think that sways opinions of members of the FOP who were there to do that meeting?
I can't speak for everybody, but I know me personally, yes, it would sway my opinion. He was given an opportunity, but I'm sure, like I said, I hold no grudge against him. I'm sure there was a good reason he couldn't make it, and we're sorry he couldn't.
It's interesting. At the end of this endorsement, it says the Fraternal Order of Police strongly encourage the citizens of the city of Marion to vote for Bill Collins for mayor. Is there ever any thought, because that's pretty strong wording, that we encourage you to vote for this person. Does that go for the members of the FOP as well?
Absolutely, yeah. All of our members, we have a monthly meeting, second Tuesday of every month. All of our members are aware of that meeting. They're all welcome to come to that meeting. We discuss these issues at every meeting. We discuss everything with the FOP going on locally at the meeting. So they all have a say in what the FOP does. It's not run by an executive board. It's actually run by the members, and we do what they ask us to do.
How many members are there of the Marion FOP?
About 140 members, and that is active and retired members.
Now, Jim, when you endorse a candidate, because heaven knows with a candidate there's a lot to be done, campaigning, putting yard signs out, raising money, does the FOP get involved in helping with those issues once they endorse a candidate?
The FOP, yes. When they get our endorsement, they're given the permission to use the local FOP in their literature that they hand out. So if they hand out pamphlets or if they want to put it on their signs that they are endorsed by the local FOP, they are allowed to do that. That is part of the endorsement process.
Now, Jim, this year, it's kind of been hard to avoid. We've had an interesting election cycle already for mayor of Marion. A complaint was lodged against Bill Collins back earlier this year, I believe it was in February, that because he is the deputy sheriff, the chief deputy, he's a classified employee and he should not be able to run for mayor. And there was a hearing held on this. It got thrown out because somebody from the opposite party had made the complaint. There's a lot of talk that after this primary is over that this complaint might come back. And I believe the person who made the complaint has said pretty much similar things. Who knows if it will. What have you made of this whole controversy, and did that play into the endorsement?
I believe it's been looked at legally. I can't speak for that, but our understanding that it will not be an issue, that he is within his he can run, is what we've been told. It should not be an issue.
Now, is that from the bill, or is that from a legal representative?
That's been from research that we have done.
Okay. So that's internal research?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just a couple more questions here, because this is something that a lot of people feel, because we all certainly know, and obviously with that issue, it was because of Bill's involvement in law enforcement. It's mentioned here, has 37 years of law enforcement experience, and also is a president, has been a president of the FOP 24. Even if Glenn had shown up, no matter what Sue had said, because Bill obviously knows the FOP, Bill knows law enforcement, and I don't think anybody would doubt that. Was there any doubt that the FOP was going to endorse Bill? That's I think, the common wisdom that's out there when they read this.
I believe our organization is fair and would give everybody a fair opportunity. Had the other opponent showed up and done better in the interview, I believe he could have received the endorsement. Yes, I believe the process is fair. Simply being a member of the FOP does not guarantee that you will receive the endorsement.
Do you think it maybe would give you a leg up, though?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, he is familiar with the law enforcement issues and the FOP. When we do our interview, that we are asking about those issues. He probably knows better than the other candidates what is important to law enforcement, but there's no guarantee that does not guarantee that he will win the endorsement, though.
Jim, just a couple more questions here this morning. One of the unique perspectives of this mayoral race this year is that none of the candidates, Bill or Glenn or Sue, have ever served an elected city position. They've never been elected to city council. They've never been in the legislative branch of city government. And if you look at the past mayors, Mayor Schertzer was a city council person, so was Mayor Kellogg, so was Doc Brown, Ron Malone, Don Quaintance. I mean, we can go back 50 years plus here. And before the mayor became the mayor, they always had been involved either in city council or legislative, the legislative branch of city government here in Marion. This year, none of the candidates have done that. What do you make of that for the first time in quite a while?
I believe Phil Collins did serve as a school board member, if I'm not mistaken. So he does have some history there. However, I know Mr. Collins, as being police chief, had to sit through numerous council meetings, so he's familiar with how city government works. But that being said, that's the great thing about our country. And anybody can throw their hat in the ring and come in and do their thing and hopefully make it a better place.
And the final question, Jim, because the FOP, as you said, you feel does carry a lot of weight, and people do pay attention to this, and it is a big group. Was there ever any thought given, because Bill was the former police chief, is the current deputy sheriff, chief deputy at the sheriff's office, and because he is a member of the FOP and a past president, to recuse yourself from this and not endorse anybody because you are so close to one of the people?
I don't think that ever entered our mind, no. If, like I said, all candidates were given an opportunity to come speak and be evaluated by our board, and the best candidate won the endorsement. So, no, I don't think that ever crossed our mind.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you for coming on this morning. I appreciate the honest answers, and we will see as we go down the road what happens. It's always an interesting trip.
Have a great day, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jim Fitzko, president of the Marion FOP. There you go. They've endorsed Bill Collins. Now, it is interesting. I did not know until this morning that Glenn did not show up for his meeting. Now, why that was, I really have no idea. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz. I would love to hear from you this morning. I think there's a lot of local information there on the table. And you know, I did hear from a lot of people yesterday that because Bill was a member of the FOP, a past president, former police chief, current chief deputy sheriff with the sheriff's office, that this was pretty well in the bag for him. Now, Jim says differently, and I have to go by what somebody's word is. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? Does the FOP endorsement mean anything to anybody out there in the listening audience this morning? 36 minutes past the hour here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Does any of this mean anything to anybody in the grand scheme of things? Now, a lot of people have said to me that endorsements don't matter anymore. That if somebody gets endorsed, that doesn't really mean anything. That people are going to vote for who they're going to vote for. I don't know. Do endorsements mean anything? I wonder. And did you hear Jim okay this morning, Jim Fitzko? I hope that came through loud and clear, because I think when an endorsement like that comes down, we should get the ins and outs and things of that nature. Again, telephone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And again, this is in regard to the Marion FOP Steve Young Memorial Lodge, number 24, endorsing Bill Collins for mayor of Marion. Now, what we learned was Sue McGowan did show up, did not get the endorsement, and that Glenn Coble was supposed to show up but did not show up. So, there you go. That's the story on that, and if anybody's got anything to say, we would be glad to hear it. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. All right. Get to some other things here this morning. And again, if anybody wants to comment on that, feel free. 740-751-4038. Okay. I want to, now this is just a funny thing. I want to bring up something that has happened over the last few days here. Now, we have had a Family Feud category. The category was name something that is shaky. Name something that is shaky. And 2 days ago, we had somebody call in and said, shake your booty. And I said, booty is not on the list. And I think I even remarked on this yesterday, and I said, those are words I never thought I would say on the air, that booty is not on the list. And yesterday, we had a call come in about a vibrator being on the list. Now, by vibrator, the caller meant neck massager. Now, I think this was misinterpreted because many people have different meanings for different words. You know, we talk about it on this show all the time. Mayonnaise and Miracle Whip. Are they the same thing? I think people refer to them as the same thing, but they're not. Some people will say, give me mayonnaise, when they really want Miracle Whip. So I just wanted to say, people should never be embarrassed or anything about their answers because it is radio, and a lot of words have double meanings. And I know we had some fun with that yesterday, but it was a completely innocent thing. It was just a neck massager, and that's all it was. So I just wanted to bring this up because I think a lot of times there is some confusion because so many words mean different things. And people tend to go with the more salacious version for some reason. And I'm not really sure why that is. Maybe it's because it's funny. I don't know. But just wanted to clear that all up on the things that are shaky category. And it is interesting, by the way, that the things that are shaky category brought both of those incidents. But perfectly fine. Everything is, I didn't hear anything about it either way. So, you know, it was what it was. Okay, what are we moving on to now here? Oh, now here's something. Did anybody get the Marion Star this morning? I did not have a chance to read it. But the headline, I don't know if it's the headline on the front page, but basically there is a story in there today, I believe. It was posted at 5:50 this morning. But the story is River Valley local schools implement policy allowing armed staff. Now, this is interesting. Now, I don't know if other schools have armed staff. Now, maybe they do. I don't know. But I would guess that maybe they don't because this is a big story in the Star this morning. Has anybody read this or would like to venture what this is about? And is it a good idea? Heaven knows this has been talked about for a long time in a lot of areas. But the story online this morning, and I'm not sure if it is in the paper version, River Valley local schools implements policy allowing armed staff. Does anybody have the paper? Is it in the actual paper this morning? Or is it just on the online version as we have it now? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. River Valley local schools implements policy allowing armed staff. Certainly an interesting policy, and I will bet that this will bring out a lot of strong feeling both ways. I can imagine this being a hot button issue. If River Valley is indeed the first school district to do this, and I don't know what it means by staff. Now, does it mean just officers in the building? Does it mean teachers? Does it mean administrators? I haven't read the article, and maybe I should have, but I was kind of busy this morning. So if anybody can shed any light on this, if you've read the article, I'm not even sure if it's in the hard copy of the paper today, or if you've read it online, if you can fill us in on this, give us a buzz. 740-751-4038. River Valley Local Schools implements policy allowing armed staff. So if anybody has anything to say about that or any thoughts in general, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. Okay. Moving on here this morning, swiftly on this Thursday morning. I do want to remind everybody, Friday Night Live will be on tomorrow night, 8:15 until 10 p.m. on this station. As I've been saying, here we go. Let's take this call. Maybe this will shed some light on the story here. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't get the paper version of the Star, but I get it, the online version.
Right.
And on my online version, on the front page, it says, schools implement policy allowing armed staff. And then in the first sentence, it says the River Valley Local School District has implemented a policy that allows approved members of its staff to carry firearms on campus. It is now one of 22 public school districts across Ohio that has armed staff members in place.
So this is actually staff.
Don't agree anymore.
Well, it's interesting. So this is actually staff members at River Valley. These are not police officers. These are people who work for the school.
It says approved members of the staff.
Does it happen to say in the article how they chose the approved members of the staff?
Let's see. Superintendent Adam Wickham explained that concerns about student and staff safety in the event of emergency situation and ensuring quicker response are two main reasons for adopting. Let's see, let me try to skim through there. No, it doesn't actually say they chose.
What do you think? You think this is a good idea or a bad idea?
It just allows previous practice in Ohio to choose. Well, here it says, Governor Mike DeWine signed into law on June 13th a bill that allows the previous practice of permitting school boards to choose to arm specific staff members and mandates reasonable training requirements. So that's, I guess that gives them the permission to do that, I guess. I don't think like the teachers should be their job to do that. Their job is just to teach the children. I like the school resource officers, I think those are good.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Apparently, there are only 22 districts in the state that have implemented this, so this would be the first in Marion County.
So, but I don't know about when they say staff. Hopefully, it's just specific, you know, not teachers per se. I don't think it should be the teacher's responsibility. They have enough to do with just teaching the kids and trying to put up with some of the discipline. But I do think they do need some kind of protection for kids nowadays.
Did you make anything of the Jim Fitzko interview this morning?
I would think that would cause a lot of people to vote for Mr. Collins, because that's a big endorsement.
Do you think, what do you make of Glenn not showing up to that meeting?
I don't know. That kind of worries me a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of, I did not know that till this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope it wasn't because they didn't tell him about it. I hope.
Well, they said
if he consciously made the decision not to go, you know, gives you some doubts there. I don't know.
Do you think, because this is what I heard yesterday, that, I mean, Bill is a police chief. He's the chief deputy sheriff. He was a former, he is a member of this group. He's a former president of this group. Do you think that there was any doubt that he was going to get the nomination?
I don't think so. I think it's a, you know, pretty obvious. I mean, he has the experience and qualifications.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, hey, thanks for the info.
You're welcome.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz here. I would love to hear your thoughts on the Fitzko interview. And now we know a little more about this River Valley story. River Valley Local Schools implements policy allowing armed staff. Now, apparently, this is not just resource officers. This is staff at the school. Now, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If you have any thoughts on the River Valley story or the Jim Fitzko interview from this morning, the endorsement of Bill Collins for mayor by the Marion FOP. All right. Friday night show, tomorrow night, 8:15 till 10 o'clock. And as I said, we've only been back 2 weeks, and it's kind of interesting because 2 weeks ago we weren't really sure we were coming back that night, so there wasn't a lot of advertisement. And then last week we had Good Friday, and a lot of people were at church services. So hopefully this week the audience will be back in full force. We've had an audience. We've had people calling in, and that's always fun. But we'll see what happens this Friday night, 8:15 until 10 o'clock. I don't remember how long we had taken off. Quite a while. Probably last fall is when we did the last version of that program, probably September or so, and then not coming back till April. So it's been over 6 months. It's hard to get people back into the listening habits. Radio is all about appointment. Okay. 740-751-4038. 49 minutes past the hour. All right, time for the compliment of the day today. Now, I'm going to try to go through this quickly this morning, but here are the compliments that have been levied so far. Healthy ego, dresses nice for spring, does nice things for other people, and what else do we have here? Has a healthy appetite. And likes to talk about past experiences. Go ahead, caller.
I've been waiting for your regular show to come on the tablet there or whatever you want to call my device. But I got the doctor again, a rerun from yesterday, and I didn't hear enough about Collins or Glenn Coble. And when you signed off from the doctor, it said, next will be Glenn Coble and me.
Huh. I wonder what, because we just had a caller, and she heard the thing this morning.
I heard the caller. I've been listening ever since, I think 7:50, and you were on there with a rerun at that time. And I wonder if I'm not, see, I have no internet at all. I'm just getting this on the tablet through another device, I guess, maybe. I don't know much about it, but I've heard everything so far. Except for the other day, I told you I had a blip in there where I didn't hear this or that, but I shut it off and turned it back on, and then I was back on the air with you. But I done the same thing this morning, and I finally got back with you, and I must have not heard that. But I heard your sign-off from the doctor about the COVID, and that was a rerun, and yesterday I heard that as a rerun. So,
you know, I think I know what's happening here. I think what's happening is when you're stopping it, when you're done listening to a program, that it's stopping it right in the middle of that program. So when you're picking it back up the next morning, it's picking back up that program instead of what's live. So if you restart it every morning, just restart the whole thing, it should come back up as in real time.
Well, it has, Scott, except for here about the last few times that I've called in to let you know. It has come back because I shut the tablet off and I don't use it any that day, except maybe once in a blue moon we might use it for something there to look up for the, what the grandkids are doing in the track and field. But other than that, it's worked fine. But maybe that's what it is. I shut it off and it's off for maybe 24 hours till the next morning I can turn it on for you.
Well, and I'll tell you what also might help it without even shutting it off. However you listen to us, whether it's on TuneIn or the website, if you close that tab and then just open that tab back up and play, that should clear it all up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to hear more about what was someone, the lady said there that was reading it off of her information about the River Valley School having gun protection, and then I heard that Bill Collins' name in there and something about he got the...
Well, but basically this morning we were talking with Jim Fitzko, the president of the Fraternal Order of Police here in Marion, and they have endorsed Bill Collins for mayor. And what we found out this morning was, first I said, should you have recused yourself because Bill Collins is a former police officer, well, is a police officer now. He's the chief deputy sheriff. He's a member of that lodge. He's the former president. And they said no, they felt they did an adequate job. And when I asked them if all the candidates came in to interview for that position, they said Glenn had said he was going to show up, but he didn't show up. So that's interesting.
That would have been, if Glenn was notified, that would have been an appointment, a very important employment for him to keep, wouldn't it?
Well, I would think so. And they said he was, and they said they even talked to him, and he gave them a time that he was coming, but then he did not show up for that meeting.
So then what I heard here the last, you said when you signed off there, you said Glenn Colton will be on next, and that was about 8:30.
Yeah, well, Glenn won't be on with me this morning. I think he'll actually be on with Linda later on today.
Oh, I thought that, okay, that's where I was thinking, but it wasn't the right thinking because he wasn't going to be on with you. He might be on with Linda.
What do you make, though, about this? Well, basically, that's the whole story with River Valley. It's in the newspaper today. River Valley Local Schools implements policy allowing armed staff, and our caller was telling us, she read it in the paper, that it's basically staff member. It's not just resource officers. It's staff members. And it's only the 22nd school district in the state of Ohio to do this.
Yes. Well, there's an up and down with me on that. Staff members can be just as well trained as a police officer, but they haven't got the title. They could be. But if they're going to be and truthfully be, they truthfully want to be a school teacher. That's their main thing. They went to college and everything for. They didn't go to college except for a police or for a law office, law enforcement. So there's a lot of things in law enforcement. I mean, numerous things. When you start handling a weapon, you're going to shoot somebody. You better know, and you better be thoroughly trained and a lot of experience. And you know, you kind of ride with a sidekick, and they tell you the do's and don'ts, and I learned a lot of this from my wife. She watches the FBI there on numerous. They see a lot of that on TV, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I'd say that's going to be a toss-up thing. There's an awful lot of schools in the United States of America, and there's got to be trained for officers and to do the right thing at the right time as our law enforcement are trained to do. And they've been in there for a good many years, and you could distrust them with the classroom of kids when to pull that trigger and what all the things before you pull your trigger, you've got to know what's beyond. And that's a hard decision to make in a tight schoolroom.
I think it's going to be interesting how that all shakes out.
Yeah, it's a test run. So I'll listen to you later, Scott.
Thanks. Hey, thanks. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038, 57 minutes past the hour. Don't forget Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 10:15 until 12 noon today. And then Adam the Computer Guy from 12:15 until 1 p.m. But if you have any thoughts on the Jim Fitzko FOP endorsement of Bill Collins or the River Valley story this morning in the local paper, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. Okay, the compliment of the day with 3 minutes left to go. We've piled up quite a few of these. I've got to start logging them better, though, because I don't have them written here exactly in the most pristine way, I guess we'd say. So we've had Healthy Ego, Dresses Nice for Spring, Does Nice Things for Others, Likes to Share Past Experiences, and yesterday was Has a Healthy Appetite. And that was not meant in any bad way. It just meant has a healthy appetite for life. It was not any negative connotation. So, today's compliment of the day, which I'll have to write on this paper, and again, these are all directed toward a single person, Abby, so I can see how many compliments I can come up with before this is all said and done. What I should, you know, I really, before I go on the air in the morning, I really should think of a compliment and write it down, because apparently my short-term memory is just gone. Because yesterday, I remember thinking of one that would be a good one, and I did not write it down. And now here we are today, and it's totally out of my head. So I guess when I'm put on the spot to actually come up with this in the morning, it's a little different. So let's see here. What is today's... And I'm under the buzzer here, because I've only got a minute left in this hour. Okay, today's compliment of the day... Trying to think of something that would befit her on this day. You know, there are several things I could say, but I know that she would take these in the wrong way, and I don't want there to be the hint of a backhanded compliment. But I know there are some things I could say that would be taken that way. Let's see here. As I'm watching the clock tick down, trying to come up with a compliment today. You know what? I'm going to save it for after the break. So you're going to have to come back after the break to see what the compliment is. Stay tuned. Back in 15.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. The 107-year-old viral video sensation, Virginia McLaurin, on meeting President and Mrs. Barack Obama.
You said, now you'd be able to die happy. Why did that mean so much?